but it may not be. All right. So that's the one of the downfalls about being in the virtual world.
Are you recording?
Said it again. Yeah, I just started. Yeah, I just started recording this. So I'm going to have this. So I'm going to have this. I'm going to chop it up. I'm going to put it out there and everything for you guys. So here it is. First thing, we're going to be in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. But before we get into Mark chapter 12, I'm going to give you some definitions so you can have an understanding of what Jesus was talking about and what we're dealing with in this time, all right? So it's a reflection on the background of the scripture at the moment that Jesus is in, when they come to him and they're asking him these questions. So here you have some key players, all right? You have scribes, you have Sadducees, you have Pharisees, all right? And these are some of the, it's five things they're talking about in these scriptures that I just gave you in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. The first one is a scribe. In the Bible, the scribe is a man, a learned man in the Mosaic law and in the sacred writings, an interpreter, a teacher. A scribe examines the more difficult and subtle questions of the law, added to the Mosaic law, decisions of various kinds, thought to for its meaning to, and scope. In other words, he breaks it down. He's an expert of the Mosaic law, all right? He's an expert of the commandments and the things of when Moses wrote, that Moses wrote concerning how to live in the kingdom at that time, to live in the presence of God. You know, certain things you did wrong. And so the scribe, he actually knew all this because he helped teaching of the law. He helped examine. He was an examiner, right? Then we have what you call the Sadducees, okay? These are the righteous ones. They believe there was righteous. There was like, they were set apart, okay? So a religious party at the time of Christ among the Jews who denied that the oral law, the spoken law, was a revelation of God to the Israelites, and who deemed the written law alone to be the truth to the nation as divine authority. All right. They denied the following doctrines. This is what the Sadducees denied. They denied the resurrection of the body of Christ, the immortality of the soul, okay? The existence of spirits and angels, divine affairs or divine movements. They affirm the free will. So as Sadducees, they believe it was righteous. They didn't believe in the spirit, right? They only believe in the written, okay? These are the things that they deny in their doctrines. They was like, we don't believe none of this. We don't believe in the resurrection of the body. We don't believe in the morality of the soul. We don't believe in the existence of spirits and angels, all right? We just believe in heaven and hell. We just believe in just one thing. This is it, you know? But then there were the Pharisees, okay? The Pharisees, they sought for distinction and praise by outward observance of external rites and by outward forms of piety, and such as ceremonial washings. Now, they believed in the whole law, right? The ceremonial piece, the fastings, the prayers, and the alms of giving. And they believed they pride themselves on their fancy good works. You know, they held strenuously to a belief in the existence of good and evil angels and to the expectations of a Messiah. They believed that the Messiah was coming. And they cherished the hope that the dead, listen to this, that the dead, after a preliminary experience, either of reward or of penalty in Hades. They believed in hell, Hades. They believe in having penalties and stuff like that, and will be recalled to life by him. They believe that they could come back to life, right? and be required each according to his individual deeds, according to the deeds. So here at the time that Jesus was here, he had scribes, Sadducees, and Pharisees. He had three different beliefs. It was almost like three different denominations. They all had their beliefs. They all were separate. They didn't get along. They didn't walk together, right? So then you're going to hear Jesus talk about the word love. They're going to ask him a question about love, all right? And we have to define love, what it means for us before we get into the scriptures of it. And what it means here is love of persons, to welcome, to entertain, to be fond of, to love dearly of things, to be well pleased, to be contented at or with a thing. That's love, right? So love is here, is to entertain, to welcome, to be fond. It's like love, like having affections for one another, right? Or to be well pleased, or just having the idea that I'm in harmony and oneness, all right? Then you're going to hear the word kingdom mentioned, okay? And this is where we're going to get our real study in, the kingdom. And it's not a study, it's just to open you up for a prophetic move. So there's the kingdom, right? So the word kingdom simply means royal power. I want y'all to hear this. Kingdom is royal power, all right? Kingship, right? It almost sounds like kinship. Like a birthright, right? So it's dominion, it's rule, not to be confused with the actual kingdom, but rather the right or authority to rule over a kingdom. So here he's talking about the kingdom, but he's not talking about a physical place. He's talking about the authority here, okay, of the royal power of the word. And that's the triumph Jesus. So when Jesus came, he said, behold, the kingdom has come nigh unto you. He wasn't talking about a place. He was talking about my royal power, who I am, has come unto you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when we say kingdom, when we say, man, I'm of the kingdom, we are not talking heaven. Listen, right. We're not talking heaven. We're talking our royal authority and individuals and knowing who we really are, yeah. All right? So when we know who we are, that's when the kingdom arrives. Why? Because we have the language of the kingdom. Matter of fact, yeah. The written law, come on. We are the written law, the righteous of the kingdom. Watch this here. We have the spiritual makeup of the kingdom here on earth. So when we get into this word kingdom more, you're going to find out just how you really are and who you really are supposed to be. Because when Jesus said, man, the kingdom is nigh, the kingdom has come. He said, when you pray, he said, our Father, which are in heaven, he said, let thy will be done. What he said, thy kingdom come. He's saying, let your authority that is in the heavens be displayed on the earth through me, right? Watch this here. Because the kingdom of heaven, watch this, the literal place where God dwells is not coming to the earth, only the word is.
Yes.
And since the word is coming, then the believers that's in the word, that believe in the word, that was sent by the king, are now being written again in blood on their lives to become representatives of the kingdom. Watch this. I become kingdom activated when I become born again.
Bless you, Lord.
I become kingdom activated, watch this here, when I've been washed. In a minute. So here, we have in Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Boy, this thing really, really bad right now. Say your internet connection, my internet connection. Okay. Let me pull my stuff back because I'm trying to work with a couple of things here. So in Mark chapter 12, verses 28, let me pull it up on my screen. So I want to show you real quick. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. We have these right here. Let me see. Can I get us over here? Can I get us here? There we go. We here. All right. Somebody say we here.
We here.
We here.
Amen. 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 We here. We here. So here in Mark chapter 12, verse 28, I want to get into this with you. A kingdom is also a territory subject to the rule of a king. When do the territory become the ruler of the king? The only time a territory become the rule of a king is when the king, when the territory have submitted to the leadership of the king. God is not coming for the world or for things to submit. He sent his son. And now that his son is gone, he sent his spirit, his Holy Spirit. And yes. Now that his spirit is upon us, he's sending us. He said, I want y'all to go take some territory, right? It comes subject to the rule of the king. Let them know that I'm coming. Let them know that I am this. Before I get into this scripture, First Peter chapter 2, verse 9 said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. That's what he's saying. He said, listen, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you're a peculiar people that should show forth the praises, watch this here, of him who had called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Now the word praises is not like, oh, we praising God, like hallelujah. You know, that's not it. What it is mean to echo the decree, all right? Or the word, to show forth the word of him who called, or show forth the favor, show forth the love, come on, the compassion of him that called you out of darkness. Because, watch this here, it was love that brought you out of darkness. I want y'all to know that right now. It was divine love that brought you out of darkness, because Jesus, the word said in John 3 and 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever will shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, if you believe in him, goes on and say, it goes on to talks about how to walk in this thing. But here's the key. It was darkness that had you, but it was the love that reached down in darkness and pulled you out because he heard your cry, right? Yeah. So now that you out, First Peter said, but you are now now I chose you. You're a chosen generation. I done set you apart. You're a royal priesthood. Not only that, you're a holy nation. That's your seed. That's anybody that come. You're a holy nation because that's anybody that come from you. That's your family. That's anybody around you that walks in the divine covenant of God's word with you. Peculiar people, meaning that you're strange. Come on. That you do things not according to the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and all the other seeds. You know what I'm saying? You're not like them, the scribes. You're set apart. You're not like every church. You're not like every church member. You're peculiar people. He said they should show forth the praise, or show forth the love, the compassion of him who had called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. And the NIV said, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. You can only belong to God through the word. I want to help you right there. You can only belong to God through the spirit, through the divine agreement in the spirit, where you believe in his, he gives his spirit unto you, and you become now individuals walking in power. You're never alone. Look at somebody and say, you're never alone. He said, yeah, that you may declare, watch this, the praises of him who called you out of darkness to the marvelous light. Then my favorite version is the ASV, right? The ASV version says, you are elect race. Come on, man. You are elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possessions. Listen, I once belonged to the devil. Watch this here. But now I am a walking kingdom.
My God.
That ye may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. So you can show them how to walk as kingdom representatives. Y'all hearing that? Yes. So the question, the scribes ask Jesus, Jesus produced a kingdom moment. Now Jesus was in a debate or with the scribes and them. They were trying to trick him by asking him questions. They argued and couldn't get an agreement on on the things that Jesus began to talk about, but because Jesus is the Word in the flesh, he gives them answers they can't argue with. But in verse 28, scribes come and begin to ask Jesus a question, but he was actually asking for the passion of the Word. Listen to this, because you have to know who the scribe was. That's why I have to tell you. He was one who only believed in the written law. Come on. He was only believed in the written law, right? He denied the following doctrine. He didn't believe in the resurrection of the body. He didn't believe in the morality of the soul. He didn't believe in the existence of spirits and angels. He didn't believe in none of that. But yet it's the scribe that comes now in verse 28 and begin to ask Jesus a question about love. And he goes on, he said, it's not an enemy that has a passion for the truth. He said, but the question is, what is the first commandment of all? So he know the Word. So now he's challenging Jesus, but he really want to break loose from the scribe mentality. Look at somebody and say, come from the scribe mentality. Come on. You got to break people away from the scribe mentality, just believing in one thing. That's why I talk to people about, I was telling my little son, Caleb, the other day, I said, you are a YouTube child. He was laughing. Like, what you mean? I say, you're being taught by YouTube. I say, YouTube has part truth, but if you don't know the truth, you won't know YouTube lying.
Right.
I say, you'll believe everything that YouTube says. I said, but you have to know the truth so you won't be fooled by YouTube and you become the you fool. You got to catch that thing.
Oh, now, come on, see.
Because you can believe everything that I was trying to help him. I said, you can believe everything that YouTube say because it's feeding your mind. I said, but truthfully, if you don't know the truth, then guess what? You'll begin to become a you fool. I said, because then you'll become a person that began to produce what YouTube taught you. You'll become a scribe. Come on. You'll become a scribe of YouTube. You got to hear that. You'll become a Pharisee of YouTube. You'll begin to produce a YouTube kingdom from your own intellect, thinking that YouTube had the knowledge. I said, because this is your age. This is how the enemy trying to trick you through this, because you are three generations out and you don't know the truth and you don't want to sit and learn the truth, because truth takes patience. It just don't come like, oh, I got the truth. We want truth, quick truth, but truth got to be studied. You know what I mean? It has to, you have to be shown and approved that, but YouTube make it easy for us, man, for real, along with Google, his little brother, and stuff like that.
Right.
So here we have some things. Let's read the scriptures in Mark chapter 12, verse 28, right here. It says, and one of the scribes came, now we know what a scribe is, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment? Are y'all hearing this? Which is the first commandment? Let me see. Can I go in this thing? First commandment. Verse 29 says, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel. What are you saying? Hear, people. And that's how kingdoms start. Like, hear ye, hear. You know what I'm saying? Hear ye, hear ye. The king is going to speak, you know, blah, blah, blah. He said, hear, O Israel. He said, I need all of you that has an ear to hear. I want y'all to hear this. The Lord, our God, is one, what? Lord. That's what he says, right? He said, the Lord, our God, is one Lord. Then he says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Then he goes on and he tells them, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Come on. This is none other commandment. There is none other commandment than these. Then he goes on. He says to him, and the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. Come on. He said, master, you just gave us the truth. You ain't lied to us. Come on. You ain't give us a YouTube story. That's a YouTube story. You ain't give us a Google debate. Come on. You gave us the word. You gave us the truth. He said, for there is one God. Come on. He said, I believe this. There is one God, because this is what the scribe believed, and there is none other but he. Come on now. Watch this. And he goes on in verse 33, and to love him with all thy heart and with all thy understanding and with all thy soul and with all thy strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all who, the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Yeah. In other words, the scribe said, I went spiritual where I wasn't supposed to go. Come on. I'm tapping into something that I wasn't supposed to tap into.
Yes.
Truthfully, it was supposed to be about offerings and sacrifices. But the greatest commandment is greater than himself. Watch this. It said, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. What we're doing is really nothing if we don't walk in this divine love that we have. And verse 34 says, and when Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly. Come on now. He said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom. Come on, watch this thing. You ain't far from the kingdom of God. Watch this. You're not far from the knowledge. You're not far from the word. You're not far from the truth. You're not far from the breakthrough. You're not far from what's about to explode in your mind, and you're about to leave the life that you're living right now as a Pharisee, as a scribe, as a believer in the unknown. Come on, you're about to tap into the spirit of a thing. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. Why? Because the person he was talking to, I want y'all to hear this, the person he was talking to had an understanding. Listen, he had an understanding because he knew the written law. Come on. He knew the written law, and the people knew that he knew the written law. So you got people that operate out of what? Out of their own thinking, their own belief. They operate out of YouTube. They operate out of things they have not researched. But here, he was operating out of something he researched. Come on. He was operating out of the written word. So when he began to ask him the question, not like the scribes and the Pharisees, but he began to ask him a question based upon his spiritual understanding of being broken out of something. And he knew that this was a moment that he could not pass up simply because it was something greater in it for himself. Watch this here. He understood as a scribe, man, I know the law. I know the writing. I understand it. I have it. I have it in me. I know who I am as a man of God. I know the biblical makeup of it. I studied it. Nobody came by and just dropped it in my head. I labored for it. Come on, somebody. I labored for the knowledge that God was given. And now that I'm here, I feel there's something greater than what I'm looking at. Come on. And bigger. So now that Jesus is here, I might as well ask him the question and begin to go back to verse 28, when he began to say, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, ask him, which is the first commandment? Man, come on. What is the first commandment? What is it? He began to tell him about love. He said, listen, if you really want it, you're going to have to walk in love. You can't get it without it. And he gives them five things. I want to share this with you. He gives them five things that he must have to understand and for us to understand. If you want to look at the commandments, check out Leviticus chapter 19. It'll give you the commandments, right? This is the things that the scribe began to study when he was younger. So here it is. The number one thing I want to show you, let me see, can I bring it up real quick? I don't want to move too fast. I want to make sure you're grabbing this. He said, the Lord of God is one Lord. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's the first thing, right? Love the Lord with all thy heart, right? We told you what love was, right? And with all thy what? Soul. Love the Lord with all thy soul. That's number two. He's saying with all thy mind. That's number three. And with all thy strength. That's number four. Come on. And he said, this is the first commandment. He said, I need you to love him with all thy mind, thy soul, thy will, thy strength, everything that's in you. He said, this is the first commandment. Then he gives them the second one. And the second one is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor. This is number five, as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So let's look at it real quick. He said, I want you to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, right? The heart is the innermost being, meaning that I need to love the Lord with my innermost possessions. Come on. Like I love myself. And it's not just the mind. The heart here is not just the mind. Why? Because he later tells him to love him with all his mind. So here he's not talking about that mind. So he's talking about with the innermost being, with your spirit. Come on now. He's saying, I need you to love the Lord God with your spirit. I need you to love the Lord God with your spirit. I need you to tap in and love him with your spirit. Then the next one, he said, with your soul. Yes. He said, I need you to have a understanding that the soul houses the emotion and the passions and the desires that go on the inside of you. It's the seat of our emotions, right? The soul. He said, I need you to love the Lord with your emotion and not become moved by every wind of doctrine. Yes. So when you begin to love the Lord, you love the Lord's word because you're a part of the kingdom, and he is the king in the kingdom. I'm about to help somebody. Since he's the king in the kingdom and he has given his word, he said, I need you to love the Lord like you love the word that you've been reading.
Come on now.
I need you to love the Lord like you've been loving the scriptures that you've been reading, the written word, because it's the word now that Jesus says, I am the word that you need to love. Come on, watch this here. And that you have to get to a place where you have an understanding that is beyond my emotions. Watch this here. That the love that I have, come on, pushes me beyond my emotions. Why? Because if I walk in my emotions, I make emotional decisions. Come on.
Amen.
Instead of a decision based on the word of God. He said, listen, if you're going to love me with all your soul, then stop making decisions based upon your emotions and your desires, and start leaning toward what you love, which is the word. Come on now. In other words, stop getting out of your feelings. You want to love your wife, but you don't know how to love your wife because you never loved the wife before. Come on. Right. So you say that you love me, but you don't know how to love me because you're not even in my word. You're just flying by. In other words, you have to study your wife like you study the word if you're going to love her. Oh, God, help me right here. You're going to have to know what's going on in her mind, her will, her intellect, and stop getting emotionally discharged in your situation when things go awry. Come on. You get all emotional and mad and upset at your wife and at your husband because you're emotional, but you don't know how to love him through the word. Come on. When you learn how to love him through the word, then watch this. You can start programming him to become the kingdom man that you
That's
want
right.
him to be. And the
Bless
kingdom
the
woman, because it's the Lord. God said, I'm going to give you the data the program for anything that you need. The first thing is, I need you to love me like you love your soul. I need you to love it like you love the soul. Get out of your feelings. High five somebody virtually and say, get out your doggone feelings. Get out your feelings and get out of your desires and get into the love and compassion of the word of God so that you can become emotional in the spirit and not in the flesh. Come on. Because if I become emotional in the flesh, I'm going to make the wrong decisions. But if I become emotional in the spirit and begin to sense the things that God desires for me in the spirit, guess what happened? I would tap into the supernatural things of God and begin to have an answer. Come on, watch this here. Through my love movement of God. Come on. Through the love place of God. Here we go. The next thing he tells him, he said, man, of your mind. He said, your mind. And the mind is the intellectual powers consisting of the will and the intelligence and the conscience of a thing. God said, I need you to love like you love your mind. Come on, like you gotta love me like you love your mind. Why? Because it's in the mind that the intelligent factor is. He says, stop loving me like I'm not intelligent. Stop treating me like I'm not intelligent in the spirit. Come on now, I'm about to help somebody right here. Let me back this thing up. And in other words, he's saying the second is like, let me go on back here because I want to show you something. He says, and thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. I want you to love me with the intellectual power consisting of the will, the intelligence, and the conscience. Watch this. There. I need you to love me with your conscience. Come on. In other words, I need you to allow me to bother you. Come on. To push you out. Because it's your conscience that pushes you out. Come on, somebody. It's the conscience of a man that begins to bother him and the things that he is not doing. Come on. When you love God, you allow his spirit to bother you, to move you to a place of uncomfortability. You'll get into a place where you're going to pray when you don't want to pray. You'll get out of the bed then. That's when you love him with all your mind right there. I love you with my conscience, God, that when I'm feeling like I'm lazy, it's your spirit that tells me to get the move. Because I'm in love with your mind. Yes. Come on, with the mind. I have to love you that way, because if I did not, God, what would happen is I would ignore your voice. Come on, somebody. I would no longer be convicted of what you want me to do. I will always do things that I want to do. I will become selfish. Contrary. And love is not a selfish word. Come on, somebody. Jesus was teaching on such a big level that we can even begin to fashion to understand. But men begin to teach this lesson, and they do not teach it in the capacity where it will influence others to become alive again. But that's what I want to do, be you. I want you to become alive again. Why? Because you tuned into the Life Changers Network channel. Come on. And I got a word that will commend you and to push you out of your norm into the supernatural. And now I'm challenging you to love the Lord with all your mind. Come on, with all your intellect, consisting of the will and the intelligence, and let the word bother you. Let his spirit bother you to do a thing that you don't want to do. Come on. What that mean, Apostle? In other words, if you love me, you're going to get up early and begin to pray when I tell you. If you love me, you're going to begin to pray for certain people when I begin to unction it unto your spirit. If you love me like this with all your mind, then guess what will happen? You'll begin to write the books that I declare for you to write, because this age is changing, and I need you to become scribes of this age and begin to write things that men will begin to read in the next part of their ministry lives. As you're departing, you have to depart with literature. Come on, that somebody may be able to read and run with after you're gone. Come on, somebody, because men are constantly changing the verbiage of the language of the kingdom. God said, I need you to become originators and stay originators in this season that you're in, because you're prophetically flowing. And I want you to understand that you're greater than what you look like. I want to help somebody right here. I heard the woman of God yesterday said, you need a Judas. Let me tell you something else you need. You need your own mind, because your own mind could become your own Judas.
That's right.
Let me move on real quick.
Talk about self.
You need the strength. He said, love the mind. He said, with all thy strength. He said, with all thy strength. Look at somebody virtually say, love him with all thy strength. I feel love like preaching up strength. In here. Hey,
yes, preach.
Love him with all thy strength. Well, powers from the soul and the spirit. In other words, my body couldn't do anything if my soul and my spirit wasn't in agreement.
That's right.
If my mind wasn't in agreement, if my heart wasn't in agreement, my strength, my body wouldn't be able to give me what I need. So I need the top layers, the soul, the spirit, and the heart, or the soul, the spirit of a thing, to be in line, that I may be able to walk in the faculties that drives me, which is my strength, the bodily functions, what you see me moving. In other words, there was a time where I was able to bench press a lot of weight, y'all, because my body and my mind and my soul was all in agreement. Come on, somebody. When you walk in agreement, and I hear you, God, when you walk in divine alignment, somebody write that down, divine alignment. When you walk in divine alignment, strength is your clothing. I need somebody to help me right here. When you walk in divine alignment, strength becomes your clothing. I want you to hear this. Is the powers from the soul and the spirit. Why? Because I need the divine alignment to produce the strength for me to move the mountains that's in my life. That's when I understand that I'm loving the Lord with all thy strength, because there's nothing that I cannot move out of my life. Why? Because my strength is no longer manifested in the natural, but it's spiritual. And because it's spiritual, the flesh has to obey. That's when everything is lined. He said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy spirit, with all thy soul, the mind, the things that going on the inside of me, the intellect, the will, the wisdom of God, and the mind, the way I think, the how I fashion and derive into a place that God wants me to be, the intelligence and the conscience of a thing. He said, now that you got those things together, now I need your body to demonstrate the power that's on the inside of you. Come on, somebody. Now that you're not weak in your mind, now that you're not weak in your soul, now that you're not weak in your spirit or your heart, he said, now that you can display the strength of the body, which is that you are now anybody overcomers up in here, this is how I get to be an overcomer. Why? Because my mind and my soul and my heart is now in line, and now I'm an overcomer. That's why I can say there is no weapon formed against me you will be able to prosper. Come on. When I will be able to say I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Come on, somebody. That's when I begin to tell them then that there's nothing that the enemy can do. Why? Because I have the strength on me of God. Come on, somebody. Because I'm loving him with all my strength. Matter of fact, I want to tell you, when you love the Lord with all your strength, what it simply means is that you have offered your strength for his service as a kingdom representative. Yes. In other words, you send God, whatever you want to move on this earth, you can do it through my strength. Yes. I'm giving you my strength to do it. God, whatever you wants to do, God, whatever you wants to release, whatever you wants to say, God, I'm giving you my strength to do it, God. Matter of fact, it's no longer my strength, because I laid my strength on the altar of love, and it was burned, and it was found to be worthy of what you want, God. And now that it's burned and purified, I have it, God, and it's unmovable. Look at somebody and say, I have unmovable strength. The kind of strength that is unmovable by the world. The devil cannot touch me because I have unmovable strength. You remember back in the day when people used to push you when they got ready to fight, you'd be like, come on, go ahead, I dare you to push me. See, the enemy liked you to dare him. But in other words, now you can say, go ahead and try to push me, and he can push you, but you won't even budge, because you're no longer walking in your strength. You walk into the strength of love. Come on, somebody. I gotta get ready to go. I'm gonna give you number 5, and I'm gonna leave you with this one right here. He said, love them as your neighbors, as you love the as the neighbors. He said, love your neighbors as thyself. What he said, listen to this. Let me pop it on here real quick. I got these glasses on. He says, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as what? Thyself. Whoa. The first one had to do with everything about you. Come on, somebody. The second one said, now that you fully dressed in what I need you to have, he said, now I need you to venture outside your comfort zone and begin to love somebody else that could have been your hater. Come on now. There is none other commandment greater than these. He said, now I need you to understand the neighbor as thyself, as the dealings with the above first, the producers a kingdom result as you begin to deal with the four. The neighbor process becomes kingdom representative. Now you begin to take over the kingdom. You begin to display the kingdom power of God wherever you go, because everything before that was self-man. It was self-driven. It was you. It was your heart. It was your soul. It was your mind. It was your strength. God said, now that you got you together, he said, venture out, and I need you to venture out to the neighbor. Who is thy neighbor? I want to tell you who your neighbor is. Your neighbor could be your brother. brother, your sister, your cousin, your uncle Ray Ray and his little brother Pookie. Those are your neighbors. And when you begin to walk under the divine covenant of God and the power of the Holy Ghost, that guess what happens? You begin to love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, you begin to educate them on the word of God, and you begin to share with them the compassion and the love of the cross, and you begin to tell them that there is none other, no other God than like the God that we serve. And because Jesus, he is above and not beneath, come on somebody, you can reach out and tell them, love on this. If they ever need anything to love, tell them to love on this. Tell them to love on your God that they see in your life. Tell them to love on your joy that they see in your life. Tell them to love on your praise that they see in your life. Tell them to love on your word that you've been studying, showing thyself approved unto God. Tell them to love on you. As they love on you, they begin to love on God. The more they begin to look at you, they begin to see the God in you. They begin to ask you questions. What manner of love is this? Tell them, I'm robed in the love of Jesus. He died one day for me. And when he died with all power and all authority was given unto him. And it was the blood of Jesus that ran down, and the water that ran down down his side and began to touch the earth that caused a shaking. Tell them, I come to cause a shaking. In other words, I come to take away the YouTube and take away Google mentality. And I'm going to bring you back to the word of God. It's the word of God that will never fail you. It's the word of God that will never leave you. It's the word of God that will never fade away. The hours may tick off the clock of time, but God's words remains the same. Anybody agree with me in this place? The word of God is ageless, even though we are decaying. God's word remains fresh every day, because his word is like manna. We got to eat it daily. It's my daily bread. Come on, somebody. You may be in the valley of dry bones, or in the valley of darkness, but don't you be there without the word. Don't be there without the word. It's the word that begins to give you light. He said, I hid thy word in my heart, O God, that I might not sin against you. It's thy word, O God. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. It's the word of God that will never return unto me void. It's the word of God that reaches way down, God, and pulled me out of darkness and brought me to the marvelous light. It's the word of God that took you out of the crack house. It's the word of God that changed your heart and your mind. The Bible said, how can you hear without a preacher? And how can you preach unless you've been sent? I come to tell you, it's the word of God. Paul and Silas was in prison. It was the word of God that shook the foundations of the prison. Oh, Peter's mother-in-law died, but it was the word of God that resurrected from the grave. There was a man that was blind, but it was the word of God that gave him his sight back. Oh, God, help me right now. One man was dead in his grave, wrapped in grave clothes, but it was the word of God that stood by the cave and said, roll away the stone and call Lazarus to come from the grave. It's the word of God that touched my mind over 20 something years ago. It's the word of God that delivered me out of the streets. It's the word of God that dressed my mind and kept my soul on God. It's the word of God that never changes. It's the bread that I eat, family. It's the word of God that never ever fails. It's the word of God that opened prison doors. Yes, it's the word of God that got Isaiah Reynolds out the hospital. It's the word of God that heals cancers. and cause blind eyes to see. If you want the word, it's there before you. I want to tell you, it's greater than YouTube, and it's greater than Google. It's the word of God. It's unchangeable. It's unflawed. It's sharper than a diamond. It's greater to do great things. It divides the soul and spirit. It's the word of God. Got the word. Anybody want the word? The word of God is what's going to change our communities. It's the word of God that's going to change our families. It's the word of God. I'm talking kingdom. I'm the representation of the kingdom. Why? Because I'm declaring what the king said in heaven on the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Anybody hungry for the Lord? I'm reminded in my giving, as I get ready to depart this place, as I get ready to leave family, I'm reminded of this one thing about the woman who was there at the well, and she was waiting on something remarkable as she was thirsty. But Jesus showed up as the word. He said, "Lady, if you would have known who I really am, you would have asked me to drink, and you wouldn't have never been thirsty again." I come to tell you, when you drink Jesus, when you drink the word, you can never go thirsty. You drink the word, you'll never go hungry. You drink the word, you'll never go without in your life. Your cabinets will never be bare. Your home will be full of joy. Your peace will be beyond your understanding. You'll be able to walk on water. You'll be able to do the impossible. You stand out in the heat and sell 300 candy apples and do something amazing that nobody else could do. LB said, "Well, I didn't think of that." I can tell you why. Because you're not in the words of the living God. You're not hearing what God is saying in the spirit of a thing. You're going to have to tap in. High five about three people virtually and say, "Tap in." I'm tapping in the kingdom. I'm tapping in the power of God. I'm tapping in the movement of the Holy Ghost. I'm just not talking, but I am a walking billboard and a display panel of the kingdom of God. I'm the virtual movement of the kingdom. God has aligned his word in my life. And now that I'm aligned with it, I'm going to walk and not be weary. I'm going to run and not faint. I'm going to mount up with the wings as an eagle, and I'm going to fly away. God, he is amazing. You got to know that he is. You got to declare that he is. He said, if you want me, you better know one thing. You better love me like you love your own mind. Love me like you love your own soul. Love me like you love your strength. Love me like you love your spirit. Love me like you love being alive. And since I love being alive and I'm not dying no time soon, I might as well love the Lord with every fiber of my being. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. You've been mighty good. Thank you, Lord. You brought me out. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Lord.
You made a way out of no way, God. All my soul declares that I'm victorious in you. Somebody say yes. Yes. Thank you, Father God. It's not an entertainment thing, but God is relationship.
That's right.
inside of me. It's relationship, God. So I thank you, Lord, for loving me in spite of. I thank you, Lord, for loving me in spite of my shortcomings. Thank you, Lord, for loving me in my ugly state. Thank you, Lord, for loving me in my rebellious mind. You made a way. I got to thank you, Lord. Lift your hands, saints, and tell the Lord, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. You've been mighty good to me. Thank you, Lord. You made a way, God. You constantly turning it around in my favor. Thank you, Lord. When I get weak, you are my strength.
Yes.
Father, you're amazing, God. You're so wonderful. You deserve all the praise with every fiber of my being. I just thank you now. You're amazing, God. I know I'm going wrong, things, but God, you deserve it. You deserve the breath that I breathe. You deserve the clapping of my hands. You deserve the words from my lips. Father, you're a great God. You're amazing God. You are thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I shall rock you today. I thank you, Father God. You made a way. You doing it, God. You doing it. Everything that I ask, you doing it, God. Everything I declared, you bringing it to pass. Everything I spoke, God, you doing it. Thank you, Father God. Anybody got to thank you. Anybody got to praise.
Thank you, Lord.
That they just got to get out. Anybody got to shout that they just got to get out. Anybody got to praise that they got to get out. I dare you to unmute your mics and say, for the Lord I live.
Yes,
and
Lord.
For the
Hallelujah.
Lord I die. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You're so worthy, God. You're so worthy, God.
You're worthy, Lord.
You're keeping us all strong and healthy, God.
Yes.
Where people are getting coronavirus. God, we're still breathing your natural spiritual strength, God.
Come on, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father God. Where people are losing their jobs.
Thank you, Lord.
Money is still flowing in our lives. We got to thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God. Well, businesses done closed down and folks are on unemployment. God, your saints are still holding strong to your divine word and to your promises that you say you'll never leave us, nor will you forsake us, God. You're with us always, even until the until the end of time. I gotta thank you, Lord. You've been amazing. As they shot up my neighbor's house, my house went untouched. God, you're amazing, God. I thank you, Lord. Come on, saints of God. You're amazing, God.
Yes.
Hallelujah, anyhow. Bless your name, anyhow. Give him glory, anyhow. Even when I don't feel like it, I gotta know how to bless you, God. Even when I feel like I'm weak in the body, God is your strength. The name is strong. Oh, Father, I thank you, Lord. You're amazing, God.
Thank you, Lord.
My soul say yes to you today. My soul say yes to your way,
Lord.
And yes to your way, God.
Yes.
Hallelujah, God. I have a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I have a hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In my thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, God. You're amazing, God. You keep on doing miracles. Anybody a product of a miracle working God.
Yes.
Somebody a product of a miracle working God. Hallelujah. I'm a product of a miracle working God, family. I come to tell you that he's able. Oh, God, he's able to do it for you. Don't you give up, baby. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. He's amazing, God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He does it. Hallelujah. He's doing it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord.
Father, you're worthy today. Oh,
yes,
God,
yes.
We give you glory. I know we've been going long, people, but we give you glory today.
Hallelujah.
We give you glory today. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but right now we deserve the praise.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
I don't know what the next hour gonna bring, but right now, God, I thank you. You're
thank
amazing.
You, Lord.
Hallelujah, God.
You're
amazing, God.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah, God.
You're worthy, God.
I hear the Lord God said, brace yourself. For a move like none other. God said, brace yourself. Buckle up, saints. I hear the Lord say, buckle up, buckle up.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I said, I'm gonna amaze this whole United States of America. God said, I'm about to do an amazing work. God says, He said, brace yourself. God says, sit still. He said, don't move, don't do anything. God says, sit still. I'm about to show something. I'm about to move in this place.
Jesus.
Yes, thank you,
Lord. I hear the Spirit of the Lord. God said, listen, I want y'all to hear this. There are going to be power outages throughout America. Listen to this. There are going to be power outages. People, they're going to be turning the power off because there's something weakened in the land and they don't even know what it is. God said they're going to be doing power outages. And I see it is going to be sporadic. It's going to be like, oh, it's over here today. It's over here tomorrow. It's going to be power outages. Things, power just going to be going out around this country, and I need you guys to prepare yourselves, amen, for what's going to be going on. Get your flashlights together. Make sure you got batteries. Make sure you got batteries and stuff. Make sure you're stuffed together. Don't be taken off guard by what's about to take place. They're going to be telling you it's for one thing, but it's really not that. It's something else. It's something else. It's something else. And I wish I knew what the something else was. I'll share it with you. But God don't share everything with me. But I'm telling you, they're going to be power outages. They're going to be saying, it's because of the heat. It's because of this. Oh, we got to preserve power, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not that. It's not that. I hear you, Daddy. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. They're going to be trying new techniques. They're going to be trying new things with the electricity. Listen, new things with the electricity, new stuff. They're going to be trying new gadgets, new. It's like a new thing it's supposed to give power, but it's supposed to be less powerful, like less energy kind of thing. They're going to be trying to tap in, but really what's going to happen is they're using our power lines as a means of communication to our homes and stuff within our devices and things like that. It's just another way for them to try to like eavesdrop and stuff and try to get into our houses and stuff and everything, which I don't really care. Amen. Then they can come in here if they want to, you know, what you want to look at. Yeah, it don't matter to me. It's all Jesus. Amen. But because they're doing this, okay, I hear you, Holy Spirit. It's a new thing they're going to be doing, but it's for, I hear you, Daddy. It's for cities that's been and running rampant. They're going to be using these techniques to eavesdrop on people's houses and stuff. It's a form of a government warfare type of thing. It's like something they developed through power lines, but power going to go out. So it's not going to really be working. So we're going to be in the dark. Amen. So y'all just wait. Y'all let me know. When y'all hear it. All right. When y'all hear this stuff, oh, the power went out over here. They talking this stuff, but it's not really what they talking. They lying. They lying. I hear the Lord God says, say that again.
You on point, because I heard that before, and I've been telling my family that they're going to come through these electronics and these airways and cell phones and whatnot. So I just want to touch and agree with you that we on point of seeing the mayor's. And we really respect and obedience and releasing that word to us. And my queen wants to say something.
Russell Prophet, I'm in agreement. When you said that they're going to be trying new things, I heard in the spirit God said underwater power lines. And I own some property in Mexico in San Felipe, and that's how they were running the power. They were doing experiments of running the power, electricity power under the ocean. And so when my spirit just said it right now, I went to my phone and I Googled it. And just to clarify exactly what you said, underwater cable, an alternative to electrical towers in New York. So they've been testing this out for quite some time, but as you said, they're going to run into glitches, which will shut the whole mainframe down.
Amen.
And then they'll use other power lines for tapping in and looking into people's houses and sending messages.
Amen. Everything is connected to power. And that's it. That's good. That's good. Wow. Anybody else hearing from the Lord right now, man? Because this is open. I need y'all to, if you're a prophet, is a prophet. Amen. Now is the time you need to share some things. Amen. Share some things. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, Sister Mika, you're gonna have to unmute and talk what you're saying.
I'm saying, I know that when electricity go out around here, because we had it before, that if the power go out, then the power is going out with the water filtration. So you may want to stock up on water too. But what I was saying earlier, that ours has been flashing for some time now. We will see our power go on and off. It's been a couple months, so we know this way something is happening. So.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Something is cracking. It's about to get cracking. Amen. But, hey, that's a 1980s word. Amen. Cracking.
Hey, it's still relevant because we're cracking on this one, baby. Let the church get popping.
Amen.
Always yeah. old school, Apostle. Always old school.
Right, right. I can't leave it. I can't leave it. I can't leave it. Amen. Amen.
Amen.